Good morning and welcome to this Sunday morning Bible study. I am Carol Devine, pastor at Providence Christian Church. You know, the media these days is telling us that the world is turning atheist. Church attendance is plummeting and religion could disappear altogether within a generation. They say the fastest growing belief system is to have no religion and no beliefs. Pastors, myself included, have been reading these studies and articles and books about these studies and then getting on our knees to ask God for direction. Some of us are even asking God why in the world God called us into ministry when the church is dying. But when we look at the expressions of the church over its 2,000-year history, we quickly realize the church has gone through a lot of changes. There has never been only one way to do church, from tiny house churches with no paid pastor to mega churches with charismatic ministers. The body of Christ has always had many forms. And while I am partial to the way we do church at Providence Christian Church, I celebrate the diverse ways all churches come together each week to worship and serve God in the name of Christ. I believe in the church. I strongly believe that we have a message that needs to be shared in this very broken world in which we find ourselves. In whatever forms the church takes in the future, I know without a doubt that God will be with us, supporting us, and if we allow it, directing us. The book of Isaiah is the most read and quoted of the prophets in our churches. In Isaiah's words, Christians hear descriptions of Christ Jesus. Even the gorgeous words of Handel's Messiah come from the prophet Isaiah. And for the past 2 weeks, I have been reading and contemplating the 40th chapter of Isaiah. If you've never read Isaiah 40 or have not in a while, I invite you to take out time today to read it for the first time or to reread it as if it were the first time. Chapter 40 begins with God offering words of encouragement, comfort. Comfort my people. Then verse 12 turns to remind us of who it is we are dealing with. It says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? And who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord and his counselor? Who was it that taught him knowledge and showed him the path of understanding? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. How can we worry about a future of the church when we worship a God such as this? How can I and others lose sleep over studies and articles when we worship a God such as this? Isaiah 40 was written for God's people who lived during the exile in Babylon. Life was difficult. The people were uncertain of their future, and they needed reassurance of God's abiding presence, and they needed to be reminded of who God is. There's no reason for us to worry. Isaiah goes on to say, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The various translations of this section really enhance its meaning for me. Some Bibles say, like I just read, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Others say, those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. And others, those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. We are to wait for the Lord, but it is not a passive waiting that we are to do. Waiting for the Lord is active. It is prayerful. It involves listening to, watching for, searching for God to lead us, so that as partners with God, we will soar like eagles. But in this country, we are not good at waiting for God to lead us. We have the world at our fingertips, fast food, up-to-the-minute news, and speedy cars. And if we're required to wait for more than just a few seconds, we have our phones out checking for texts, emails, and social media posts. We are not good at waiting, hoping, and trusting God. But Scripture commands us over and over to do just that, to wait for the Lord. We find waiting, calls for waiting in Genesis, in the Psalms, Hosea, Micah, and Galatians. Without God, we do not know what is best for our lives or for our church. And so James even reminds us to wait patiently, like the farmer waits for precious crops from the earth. Farmers are a lot of things, but one thing they are not are passive. They do not sit idly. Farmers are active, preparing, planting, tending, and weeding. They protect, repair, and plan. They pay attention to God's signs in the weather and the seasons, through the animals and insects, to the wind and the sky and the phases of the moon. Farmers are always looking for God's signs, and for God's direction. I heard a great preacher recently, which is a rare treat for someone who preaches every Sunday. Reverend Adam Hamilton is the founding pastor of the United Methodist Church of the Resurrection outside Kansas City. The church began in 1990 with four people and a dream of creating a congregation where thinking people, non-religious, and those who were barely religious, to become committed followers of Jesus Christ. The church has become the largest United Methodist church, with over 20,000 members. The media wants us to think the church is dying. But Reverend Hamilton's church says something different. And some studies and research on religion do not agree. Some studies say that atheism as a belief system has already peaked, and its share of humanity is now shrinking. In 2012, atheists were 13% of the world's population, and this year that has fallen to 11% in just 3 years. And there is other good news. The latest global data shows that young people under the age 34 are measurably more religious than older adults. And 42% of people who are unaffiliated with any particular religious body at least once a month pray. And 41% of people consider religion to be somewhat or very important in their lives. Churches like the ones we have here in Jessamine County, I believe, are key to reaching people who do not have a church home, to reaching people who do not know Jesus, reaching people who have been hurt by the church, who have been turned away from the church, who have come to think that Jesus is judgmental and exclusionary. Churches in Jessamine County can help those who are, for one reason or another, outside the church, become part of the community in the spirit and name of Jesus. You know, the churches of Christ, the Christian churches, and the disciples of Christ were all born at the same time in August of 1801 at a week-long revival at Cane Ridge in Bourbon County. More than 20,000 people of all ages, economic levels, and cultures attended the revival, and they heard great spirit-filled preaching about Jesus, about unity, about forgiveness and love. There were Presbyterians there and Methodists and Baptists all together, and they shared the Lord's table. The people gathered at that revival that week were not concerned about who was what denomination. They were one in Christ. They were focused on the gospel. As the United States developed in the 1800s and early 1900s, Christianity thrived. Everybody went to church. It was where you made your friends. It was how you served the least of these. It was where you worshiped and prayed and learned about Jesus. But somewhere along the way, us Christians began to argue and disagree about things that really do not matter. And we got holed up in our individual churches and denominations. In addition, many of us took the words "wait for the Lord" way too literally and became passive. And while we did continue to feed the hungry and clothe the naked, we stopped talking about Jesus and working together. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words." But my friends in Christ, it is now necessary for us to use words. Our culture no longer teaches the faith. Kids do not learn about Jesus in school. Shows like The Waltons are no longer on television, and most music these days is anything but sacred. So preach the gospel at all times with your actions, but for heaven's sakes, use words as well. Isaiah 40 commands us, saying, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It is time for us to join together as one in Christ. It is time for us to preach the gospel with our actions, but also with our words. Let people know who we are, followers of Christ. The broken world needs us and needs Jesus. People are in great need of the message of forgiveness and love and hope. Many people believe that the church is now being called into unity. We don't have to worship the same way. We don't have to agree on all things to be united in Christ. People are calling it the Great Convergence. The Great Convergence has begun. People all over the world are tired of divisions and arguing and squabbling. People outside the church want to see unity and want to hear how we are alike and how we work together. People inside and outside the church want us to focus on what we share, not what divides us. I believe Christ wants that as well. Jesus spent his life in ministry trying to bring people into the fold, trying to bring people to the table, trying to bring people into the community. We are called to follow his model. May God bless the churches of Jessamine County, and may we unite in the name of Christ Jesus to preach the gospel with our actions, with everything we do and every decision we make, but also with our words. May it be so, and may you be blessed abundantly this week in the name of Christ, the one we follow. Amen.